This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Just think about everything you do online. Pay bills, buy stuff on eBay, sell stuff on eBay. Do you go shopping for bargains, get health tips, recipes, look for a house, figure out how to buy a house, look for a job, develop new job skills, take a class, and so much more all online? It's magic, right? Well, President Obama said it best when he said, "You cannot access today's economy without the internet." So what about people who do not have that access? They can't get the internet. What are they missing out? We know that there are big chunks of San Antonio where the internet is just not available. We know that 1 in 6 San Antonio families lack basic internet access in their homes. Why is that? We're talking about that this afternoon, and whether or not by doing a moonshot to try and change that in San Antonio, we can give more people economic opportunity. We're joined by Lila Powell, the chief of policy to the City of San Antonio Mayor Ivy Taylor, Richard Milk, the director of policy and planning for the San Antonio Housing Authority, and David Hurd is here. He's the CEO of Tech Block, a grassroots organization created to activate San Antonio's tech industry. And we invite you into our conversation as we talk about getting San Antonio to bridge the digital divide. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. I particularly would like to hear from folks who have moved to parts of San Antonio. You know, the South Side's a really cool, interesting part of town. But when you move in some of these places that are very interesting, you may find out that you're not going to be able to get the internet that you need, and how that has impacted your life. Or if you live in these areas and you just can't get the internet, what are you doing? So the number is 210-614-8980. So Lila Powell, what's happening with San Antonio and access to the internet overall, and what is the Mayor Ivy Taylor's policy on dealing with that?
Well, David, thank you for having me on, and thank you for paying some attention to this really important topic. It's something that the mayor has been focused on for about the past 2 years. And first, doing a little research, looking at the information that we do have, what information we need. There is still data that we need to be able to address this problem. But I think bringing folks together to form a coalition, this is not something, you mentioned the moonshot. I think that's that may be a little bit imply a degree of difficulty that I think is a bit intimidating.
an intensity.
Absolutely.
A total focus on saying this something is one thing that we could do that
yes.
will change the city.
That's a great way of phrasing it, to bring folks together across government. So, you know, the effort to put a man on the moon wasn't just a government effort. It was the private sector was involved. It took all kinds of talent. And that's exactly what we see with digital literacy. So on the one hand, we know that we do have an issue with basic illiteracy, and we are addressing that. And that some of the partners who are key in that, like the library, for example, or bibliotech, are going to be key partners in also addressing digital literacy and closing the digital divide. We know that some parts of San Antonio are 4 or 5 times more likely to have access, and that, in fact, across the United States, most people have either no choices or only one choice of service providers. So the key ingredients are to have fast, reliable service at an affordable price for folks who don't have access now. But that's just on the service side. There are two other ingredients in this, and I'll let Richard talk a little bit more about this later when we talk about the Connect Home program. But the two other ingredients are the skills training and development and the confidence to use the internet safely, and then the device. So about 1 in 6, 1 in 7, particularly young people, see themselves as mobile phone dependent. That's what they use. They use a mobile device. And while that can be great for lots of things, it may be difficult to apply for a job online using only your mobile phone. So we need to look at access to devices. We need to look at access to affordable, reliable service. And we need to look at training that gives people the confidence. So what we've done is we've put together our very first digital inclusion strategy document, which is in its draft form, but it's being reviewed, and I think we'll have that available to help guide the work of an actual alliance, public and private sector alliance, which is going to be meeting this month, also for the first time. And these efforts were also recognized in the digital inclusion conference we had. We brought speakers in from all over the country, including the National Digital Inclusion Alliance, and then also from Kansas City, where we've really looked at the program that they're doing and think that they're doing a great job of outreach. So we're bringing people together to create a platform for us to address this issue as a community.
We had the principal on yesterday from the Young Women's Leadership Academy, SAISD. The school was, high school was selected as the best in San Antonio by the U.S. News and World Report survey. And that the principal talked about how great her students were, but many of them do not have internet in their home. And that these are young girls who really want to achieve, and they're intellectually curious, and they have a lot of ability, but they're suffering from this big, steep curve that is challenged, not being able to have internet in their home. So they have to go to McDonald's, they have to go to Starbucks, they hang out at campus as long as they can in order to have internet so they can research and read and learn and write and get their writings and share. I mean, is that what we're missing in San Antonio when we have half of the city? I'm looking at this map. It shows that half of the city pretty much has really bad or no internet.
Yeah, and I think there are two components to that. One is that it hampers you from doing the work you need to do now. And the Connect Home program, and then before that, the Connect Ed program, which was also a federal program, we're moving in that direction of saying the internet is a utility. Just the same way that you can't do homework or you can't have a quality home life without electricity in your home or running water, that the internet now, you know, the story that the a woman who runs the National Digital Inclusion Alliance was standing in line waiting for a hamburger, and a young man came up and said to the woman behind the counter, "I want to apply for a job." And the woman behind the counter says, "We don't do that in person anymore. You have to get online." And so then you go to the library and your session times out and all those kinds of issues. So people may think, some people who have service, reliable service, may think of it as a luxury, but it's really not. It really is a utility that allows you to fully participate in the 21st century economy. But not only does it let you do those things now, and certainly for kids doing homework or for adults trying to pay bills, but it also brings up a whole other generation of young people in our community to think of this as something they're comfortable with. So we all take for granted that we can use a keyboard or log onto a computer to get information. There are people for whom that's unfamiliar territory, and that cuts off a whole range of job opportunities and ways of expressing themselves. And if they don't have that, then we're not giving them the opportunity to be connected to the best possible life they can lead, but we're also not helping our local businesses grow local talent to move into the jobs, most of which are going to require this kind of skill.
So in a minute, before I go to this next break, just sort of recap, what is happening with this mayor's initiative? Just give me a minute. What are you doing? I don't understand. There's a lot of stuff there.
Yes. So I think the most exciting thing that we've done is taken the lessons we've learned from Connect Home, which we've been participating in, to figure out what's the best way to provide skills to folks who don't have them. So that's the first thing, developed model programs. The second, we set aside the funding to do the research we need to do, and that's in this year's budget. So we'll be getting the data we need about replicating those successful programs. Third, we've put together a coalition of public and private sector groups because we have to be able to scale this up. We can't just be helping 10 or 20 people at a time, but that's where you have to start.
Okay, so but I'm still, you know, we want to find out what's happening with Google Fiber. Are they going to be able to be the silver bullet for San Antonio to bring cheap, affordable, reliable internet? What's happening to them? We know that the telecom companies are not into this, and they are fighting the fight on Capitol Hill, lobbying, trying to squelch any effort to bring competition to the marketplace. And we know that this is a necessity. We've got to be able to figure out, we've got to crack this nut to help everyone in San Antonio have access to internet. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. What efforts are being made to bridge the digital divide in San Antonio, and why is this so important? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. 8980. I really want to get an update on what's happening with Google Fiber, announced with much fanfare and excitement, and we thought this was really going to solve all of our problems. You know, great, cheap internet access. So Lila Powell, Chief of Policy to the City of San Antonio, Mayor Ivy Taylor, what's happening there? Give us an update.
Well, and I should say probably the best entity to give you an update on Google Fiber is probably Google Fiber. But we did actually, interestingly enough, have this discussion about should we wait to put some of our Connect Home programming into place until Google Fiber gets their network in the ground? And we really decided that we couldn't wait for that because, as we mentioned before, looking at it from the perspective of a utility, you're talking about a very large city, over 400 square miles. And certainly, you know, I'm sure all your listeners have heard about the issues with the Google Fiber huts and then the plans to move back from the distribution.
Well, maybe people have not.
You okay.
know,
well, well,
you're you know, you live in this area. Many people, you know, so there was a park and there was some, you know, what was happening on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, so there's a large number of these huts, and I will admit that when you think hut, you think something that might be a small
or Jabba, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. But these were pretty large structures, and when they got into place, particularly in the parks, the neighbors said, you know, I'm not sure we want that. And so there was a concern about what are we sacrificing? Are we giving up our parkland? Are we giving this up in order to get this service? But Google Fiber has been responsive to those issues, and I don't think they're unique to San Antonio. And so they're looking at new technology that would allow them to put the fiber in without having to have those. And I have to admit, I'm not a techie, so I don't really know what the technical name for those huts is. But I think of them as those old transfer stations that the phone companies had. So they want to have a technological solution that allows them to put the fiber into neighborhoods without having to have those structures. And that's what they're working toward.
Richard Milk, Director of Policy and Planning for the San Antonio Housing Authority. What is this Connect Home we're hearing about?
Sure. Connect Home is a program that HUD started and we participating in since October 2015. There's 28 communities across the country that are Connect Home communities. And I think in general, the goal is to address the digital divide among HUD-assisted households. And one of the things that HUD did to prepare us for this is something new for housing authorities, is to put together the partnerships at the national level that then play out at the local level to make it happen. Google Fiber was part of that initial commitment, but there are also 8020 Foundation, the Library Association, other national entities that then really got to work and thinking, and what at the local level in San Antonio, what can we do to address the three aspects that Lila mentioned earlier. Connectivity itself, devices to plug into the new broadband connectivity, and then training to make sure that you really know how to make the best use of your new skills. So the program that we've rolled out really is focused on the training aspect. Residents that complete the training, it's about 12 hours of training, earn a device that we can
what
make
kind
available
of device?
To them.
What are they getting?
It could be a laptop or a desktop. Again, the focus is on something that they can do their homework on, that they can apply to jobs, that they can use for. Many residents have smartphones, but they're not enough to do a lot of what needs to be done to plug into the economy. Some of our residents go above and beyond the basic training and they become digital ambassadors and make themselves available as a resource to their neighbors. So if someone has a question, they can go to them and say, how do I do this? How do I get online? How do I find this? How do I address this on the with my machine? So we've rolled it out at 7 communities, and our goal over the coming years is to expand that. As you may or may not know, Saha has 70 public housing communities across the country, and our goal is to reach those with Connect Home training and devices and connectivity over the coming years. And we think this Digital Inclusion Alliance, of which we're a founding member, I could say, is going to be the vehicle to do that as we think about scaling out and really helping a larger number of people.
So Richard, tell me a story about somebody that didn't have the internet, went through this program, they were able to get the device, get online, and start doing things, and how it gave them access to the digital world.
So one of our there's several success stories. One of them is a young lady named Tenere Martinez, who has a couple boys, and when she started the training was working at three different jobs, none of which provided benefits, all of which she had to kind of schedule hours individually and was just kind of falling behind on rent, on sleep, and all the other things that you need to do to taking care of her boys. After the training, she was able to immediately take that certificate to a job interview and secure one job at Apple that provided her benefits, regular working hours, and the time to really help her kids with their homework. And she's we made a video of her that's online, and anybody can see. And she tells a great story.
So you're seeing people's lives.
People's lives change. We've just a few days ago, I heard a mom talk about how her kids can now do their homework. A lot of homework is assigned now. Her daughter didn't have internet access in her unit, in her apartment. But after the connectivity that through Connect Home, she's able now to do her homework. Her grades have gone from C's to A's.
And also parents are able to check on their kids' school progress. Frequently, schools have these electronic class blackboards.
Many parents don't even know that blackboard, that portal is available through. So now they can, yes, and they can watch their kids progress. Or
you know, do a little carrot and stick on them, you know, get them to do their homework. So I'm going to take a call here. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. If you've got a question or comment about bringing the internet to wider parts of San Antonio, bridging the digital gap, and Crystal is on the line. Hi, Crystal. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. My name is Crystal. I was listening in, and I totally agree with you guys. I myself live in housing. I have a lot of neighbors that don't have internet access. Come to me, like, asking questions if I have internet. I use my phone. My phone is my only source of internet. I just recently bought a tablet, and I have issues using it. Don't know what I'm doing sometimes. And I do know how to use a computer, of course, but mine broke, so I don't have a computer access. A lot of people down my street don't have internet access. Mm-hmm. My only source is through Wi-Fi, of course, and that's through Spectrum now. And I was just wondering, when will this be available, and when will it be advertised, and how will you guys advertise it so that everyone knows? Because there's a lot of people that do not have computers or internet access. Amazing how some of us are set off the world.
Crystal, so we're get to your question. You want to know how soon you're going to be able to take advantage of these. But let me ask you, what's it like to know that there's all this stuff out there and your neighbors know it's all out there? You watch TV and you see people saying, well, go online, get this, get that. And yet you're saying, I'm not part of that world. That is a world which I am not able to plug into. I mean, do you feel a level of exclusion of the general comings and goings?
Yes. Yes. I'm very frustrated. It's very frustrating because I don't have a good job. I do odd jobs here and there just to survive. I really help others out. And it's very frustrating. Very frustrating to be in the bottom pit of the whole, you know, economy thing. And it's
all right.
Very, well, Chris, very frustrating. I know it would help out a lot of us individuals get better jobs and be more, help the economy really and get it going.
Crystal, thank you so much. I appreciate you calling, and you really helped us understand the situation a lot better. So to her question, let me ask you, Leila Powell from the city of San Antonio, you know, what's happening? How soon? How soon is now?
I want to start off by saying that when Crystal said that she thinks that she could help the economy, I could not agree more. And that's, you know, the mayor has always said that her vision for San Antonio is a place where everyone is connected to the opportunity for prosperity. And that is sort of summed up in this issue about connectivity. And if Crystal has the opportunities to get connected, she can contribute, and that will make the economy stronger. So yes, we're excited about taking the success that we've had with Connect Home, expanding that both within communities at Saha, and then also, I don't know if Richard mentioned, we brought on a Vista that's going to be a collaborative effort with Goodwill, and we're looking at how we expand what we're doing in Saha's communities to Section 8 holders. We're also talking with a couple folks, entities around town that are putting in new IoT-based sensor arrays for other purposes and creating Wi-Fi hotspots there. And then the Digital Inclusion Alliance is going to be meeting, as I said, for the first time next week, and I hope we can start to scale up the efforts that have already been successful that we've seen.
David Hurd, of the CEO of TechBloc. What's TechBloc's interest?
Well, you know, one of our goals is to raise awareness and make sure that people, that San Antonio is really building the right types of programs, public-private partnerships to help our city remain competitive in the digital age. And, you know, the internet is absolutely ubiquitous. Just as a small example, you know, there's so much data flowing across the internet right now that the metric system has run out of labels to measure it, to describe it. So think tanks have gotten together to extend the labeling system of the metric system to be able to continue to describe how much data is flowing across connective networks. And that data is doubling every 24 months. And yet, interestingly, the internet is only about 8,000 days old. So when you start thinking about where the world's going to be 10, 20, 30 years from now, our world is already very digital. The future is going to be completely digital. So our competitiveness and the access of our population into the jobs of the future is going to be driven by their digital literacy and ability to get employed in jobs that are going to be tech-driven.
And so TechBloc is trying to do what with that?
Well, in terms of digital divide, our primary goal right now is to raise awareness and start talking about the issues of connectivity and internet access as critical infrastructure, public infrastructure that we need to address.
I mean, can we really say that San Antonio is a technology city when we look at the map and half the city does not have true internet access?
Absolutely not. You know, I think the numbers show that on the north side in the affluent neighborhoods, broadband services are at about 80% adoption. And in the urban core and far west and south side of town, about 20%. It also breaks down along ethnic lines. About in the United States, about 75% of Anglos have broadband, about 63% of African Americans, and about 50% of Latinos. So this is a huge issue with regard to our demographic in San Antonio and the ability of us to leverage our human capital and make sure that our young people are literate with regard to the digital age and can access those jobs in the future.
But is it because of lack of infrastructure that part of the city has this and the other part doesn't?
We think that's part of it. So when you begin to think about the investments that cities make in their community over time, we have a bond campaign currently, a vote currently in the ballot box.
Yeah, we have a mayor's race and a city council race.
So we've got all kinds of elections, right? And $850 million, I had the pleasure of chairing interestingly, as CEO of TechBloc, the streets, sidewalks, and bridges subcommittee for the bond. And we heard a lot of citizen input and made a lot of great decisions about investments. But a lot of this is concrete to support connectivity of people walking and cars. And so one of the questions is, as we look to the future, should we start thinking philosophically about investments in digital infrastructure that aren't poured concrete, but pathways for connectivity for our citizens?
But, I mean, we don't have to put fiber down. I mean, we can do this through the ether, you know, Wi-Fi, you know, Wi-Fi hotspots, and particularly, you know, at schools and at public housing, we could bring something to these neighborhoods that desperately need it.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of models being explored by cities across the country and indeed the world. I mean, even in Africa, the Gates Foundation is flying drones, providing Wi-Fi hotspots in the air because there isn't ground infrastructure to tie them to. So there's all kinds of innovative ways to do this. We really think that over time, we can build a San Antonio solution, whether it is bonds to create points of presence in certain hub areas that provide free Wi-Fi for the public, or maybe stipends for certain communities to pay back the private services.
And at the big risk is that we're going to have huge swaths of the population feeling like they're left out, that the system doesn't work for them, and that they've been left behind, but we got to figure out an intervention before we get to that point. We're going to continue the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. The source continues after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. One in four San Antonio households have no access to the internet. The low-income and rural communities are more prone to suffer from the digital divide, a disparity in access to technology and the internet, which exacerbates economic, social, and political imbalance. We're talking about this afternoon. We want to hear from you. What's your experience? How do you think this should be tackled? Why this is a problem that impacts everyone in San Antonio, even if you got the fastest internet and the most boss computer in your house? Having everyone connected to the internet would enrich your experience online. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. Bringing another voice into our conversation, we're joined now by Jordana Barton, senior advisor for community development at the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas and the San Antonio branch. And they released a report called Closing the Digital Divide, a framework for meeting CRA obligations. And Jordana, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much, David. It's great to be with you.
So we'll get into what the CRA obligations are, but first off, talk about how you perceive the situation in San Antonio in regards to people not having access to the internet.
Yes, well, the Federal Reserve and the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas for the district that San Antonio is in is concerned about people participating in the economy and having full access so they can build, so families can build their wealth and their financial security and access jobs at the maximum that we can achieve. So this became an issue that we identified as a structural barrier to families' upward mobility. It is our job at the Federal Reserve and indeed in community development in the Federal Reserve to identify those obstacles and to address those at the root. And then we can make our workforce development programs and our outstanding educational institutions successful. Because if they can have the best programs and partnerships, but if we don't have the basic essential infrastructure that people can access to access jobs, and some of your guests have talked about those barriers, then we won't get where we want to go. We won't get to our end goal of having more people move out of poverty and up into the middle class and beyond. So that is the commitment of the Federal Reserve, and so we're asking, as part of this publication and in our work with local governments, is asking cities, indeed in the 11th District and across the country, to make their digital inclusion plan as part of their economic development plan, and that's why we have partnered with Mayor Taylor and the City of San Antonio and in the digital inclusion summit, bringing the best resources to the table to help us with maybe information that we didn't have, so that we can have the greatest plan that will help us achieve our goals.
Okay, we got a lot of callers here, so I'm going to get them on the air. 210-614-8980 if you want to call in, like Terry. Hi, Terry. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. I just wanted to say I wanted to get some information about the prerequisites. I'm dealing with a disease that has limited my functioning ability, and I'm on assistance and on Saha. I do have Saha, and I was just interested in operating a business from home in hopes of becoming a self-supporting, contributing member of society again. So, but my computer skills are basic, and I have huge gaps because I'm mostly self-taught. So I just wanted to know, like I said, about the prerequisites for the program, specifically like the educational process and the ability to acquire a computer upon completion. And does a person have to live in a certain part of San Antonio where the internet access is limited or weak? And is there an upper age limit?
All right, Terry, thank you for the call. Great questions. I'm so glad you called in. So go ahead, Richard Milk.
Yeah, thank you for that. It's a good question, and it the short answer is there's no prerequisites. We offer training to kids, to adults, and to older adults, and we recognize that everyone has a slightly different goal when they come to the table, and some are taking a refresher course, others are learning from the very beginning, and that's fine. We have a flexible training program that allows for that. One other thing that's important is we have training at seven of our public housing communities currently, and if you are receiving housing assistance, you're welcome to attend any of those. But one of the exciting partnerships, and this is really all about partnerships, that we're unveiling now over the last few weeks is a partnership with a public library so that public housing residents can go to a library that offers digital inclusion, digital literacy training, and get credit essentially for that those classes, and then come back to your community and show them that you took the courses, and you'll be eligible for a computer, for a desktop or a laptop. And we have you'll get a passport that you'll stamp as you complete the different courses, and then you can take it. And this provides a lot more flexibility in terms of where you can take the classes and where you can get the training.
Don't we pay like some sort of fee or tax or something on our phone bill or something? Isn't there money collected that's supposed to bring technology to people who are dealing with disability and things? Or do we know about that? I know we're paying money. And there's a pot of money out there that should be accessed for that. Let's go to another caller on the air, Jonathan. And Jonathan, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, sir. I'm really excited about this program. However, I live way out in Lake Hills. We don't have internet infrastructure out here at all. You can get satellite internet, but it's like a couple hundred bucks a month. The only internet we have available to us is on our mobile phone. I was going to Northwest Vista, and I would stay there all night to do my homework. Do you know if this program will come out to those of us who live in more rural areas, or if being a disabled veteran, is there anything, any kind of program that maybe could help us also get access?
Okay, Jonathan, thank you for the call. So I don't know if you can answer that, Jordana Barton from the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas.
Yeah, well, one of the things we're doing is working with local governments, like I said, which will include county governments, to have them make their plan, right? So I think the caller's area might be in, you know, a certain county, maybe in Bexar County, so that even at the county level, right, you could make a plan for expanding or building broadband infrastructure, and then the digital inclusion programs that should go with it, and the devices and all of that. We're in the middle of it, so I can't say I have the exact answer for his community, except that he's exactly right. There's going to be rural areas, peri-urban areas, that are still left out. So we're concerned about all of them because we need to make rural areas vibrant for the reasons that one of your callers talked about. Sometimes you can have a home-based business and make a good living, or the capacity of the internet to make geography irrelevant for rural areas. There you can have a business perhaps now if you have in your rural area broadband connectivity, you can run a business out of there because your customers are the world, and you'll be able to reach them, and you'll have those efficiencies. So he brings up a real critical point, and we're in the middle of working with local governments and nonprofits to solve it. And the publication talks about how financial institutions can be involved at every level, from the broadband infrastructure itself to the digital inclusion programs.
Okay, another caller, John. And John, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. There's two things that really scare the hell out of me about this. Number one, you're calling the internet a utility. And number two, the answers are always, it's good for everyone and local government. And if you're a frequent listener to The Source on TPR with David Martin Davies now at noon, you might know that CPS and SAWS are not exactly very popular here. So my question is, what steps are being taken as these plans are rolled out to make sure that this new, good-for-everyone, locally-controlled internet entity does not become the next SAWS or CPS and all the issues that encompasses?
Okay, John, thank you for the call. And so, Lila, do you want to take that question?
Sure, I'd be happy to address those concerns. And SAWS and CPS are both municipally owned utilities. So the city of San Antonio owns the company that provides electricity and gas and water and sewer service. That's not the case in most communities that the city owns those utilities. It is a distinct model that we have here, but no one is proposing that the city of San Antonio develop a utility to focus on providing this type of service.
Aren't there there's a prohibition. You can't do it.
And there are some communities where there was a network built out that was then, I think, Provo had a local network that they then sold actually to Google Fiber. So there are some, we certainly have a network that we use to connect city facilities, but we're not, as David just said, we're not allowed to turn that over to provide service to paying customers. So we're not proposing at all that we would create another SAWS or CPS.
So there's not going to be no mall bell for the internet taking over San Antonio. The idea is to try to figure out a way to access the private industry that's here now using public incentives or some motivations. But thank you, John, for that call. I want to say thank you also to Jordana Barton, the Senior Advisor for Community Development at the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas San Antonio Branch, and their examination of this issue about the digital divide. And our conversation continues after this break. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. We're finding out that San Antonio has a digital divide problem. One in four homes in San Antonio have no access to the internet. Why that's important, how this can, by changing that, could be a way to allow some folks to break out of that cycle of poverty. We invite you into our conversation as we look for answers. Number is 210-614-8980. And Kamala is on the line. And Kamala, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. I agree with a lot of what's being said, and I think it's an important discussion, especially because I teach online, and so my job depends on the internet. But I also live on the west side where a lot of my neighbors don't have internet, and where sometimes people have intermittent internet because just like other utilities when they can't pay the bills and stuff. And the other thing I'd like to say is that there's a large group of people who for whom literacy would be something that would keep them from really participating at an equal level on the internet unless they have someone helping them out that, you know, can read well or and language access and all of this. And so I think we need to nuance our discussion a little bit and think of some of these things before we jump ahead and think it's just based in money. You know, I mean, it's a pretty complicated issue, and I think it's great to have the access across the board, but I also think that it isn't the only way to have a fulfilled life.
Sure. So you think we're overselling it? What do you mean, the only way to have a fulfilled life?
I think that it isn't. I think that everyone should have the option to pursue it if they want. But I think, I mean, and the idea of having it at, like a utility, I think is an interesting idea. The thing is that, you know, a lot of us get our utilities cut off, too. And,
sure.
And I think it all goes back to that idea of everything being based in money. And that's what a lot of the conversation is, you know, how to get a better job. But I guess my introduction of what I'd like to introduce is sort of how can we have the most fulfilling life and how can the internet contribute to that and how can everyone have access to that sort of pursuit of happiness or whatever.
Okay. All right, Kamala, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Bring up some great points. And Richard Milk, you wanted to address that.
If I could just pick up on the idea of how you prepare for this, how you make the best use of it. San Antonio Housing Authority, as among the 28 Connect Home communities, has really emphasized training and the importance of training. We get kids that think they know how to use their computers and think they know the internet, but they all benefit from sitting down, really thinking through in a structured way what's out there, how do you protect yourself, what are your privacy concerns. How do you find the resources that you really need to find? And concrete example of how we're building that into literally into a footprint is our new East Meadows development on the east side. Bibliotech is actually, we've built out a space for Bibliotech, Bibliotech is committed to digital inclusion, digital literacy training as part of their programming.
And David Hurd, CEO of TechBlock, I mean, this is important for the mission of TechBlock, isn't it?
It really is. San Antonio must be competitive in the future. The future is going to be driven by tech. We are in a digital age. San Antonio is not where it needs to be. We're working hard to catch up. And our population needs to make sure, we need to ensure that our population has access into the jobs of the future. And when you really think about children, it's interesting. To us, all of this, the training, literacy, all of these things are important. And we applaud the current programs to build more literacy around digital technology. However, we do believe it begins with access. You know, there's this article published in the MIT Technology Review of tech nonprofits that dropped off preloaded iPads into remote villages in Ethiopia. And they checked back in months later, and the children had learned how, they had no training. They had learned how to use the OS. They had learned how to navigate the applications. And using literacy applications had actually taught themselves to read. Children are bursting with curiosity and all kinds of energy. And I think that if we provide access, it will help some of our young people make sure that they have an on-ramp in terms of the ability to join our economy as it moves forward into a more digital, technology-driven experience.
And Lila Powell, from the Chief of Policy to City of San Antonio Mayor Ivy Taylor.
I just want to bookmark that remark about the way that kids use the internet with something that Kamala said about quality of life. And the internet isn't just about being able to fill out a job application. It's about a grandmother who hasn't seen her grandkids being able to Skype, and understanding that folks who may come from a particular ethnic group or who want information about a topic that they can't get in their own community or neighborhood can go online and find that. So I think word that we've used, being connected, applies in a lot of ways that don't have maybe a specific economic implication, but they're ways that we can connect with another human being. And for a lot of folks who don't have that now, who maybe haven't seen their grandkids in years, to be able to actually see a grandchild and see a new baby, that's a pretty amazing thing. And that's something that they know that is out there if we can just bring it to them.
But knowledge is power. How many times we've heard that? We know that to be true. And power in how? When we give people the ability to access all the knowledge that's on the internet, suddenly they're able to not just get good jobs, and that's important, and develop new skills, but also find healthy recipes, and also deal with issues of social justice in their lives, and be able to deal with big questions that are confronting them and their family about how to access healthcare and other important, you know, critical issues that are confronting them. So when we have these underserved populations and they don't even know really what they're missing out on, but they know that they're missing out on something, what is the low-hanging fruit that we can develop in order to get more people to plug in and get online, Lila?
Well, I want to go back to a point Richard made earlier, that really the vanguard here is the library system. The San Antonio Public Library System and Bibliotech are the very the foundation of a lot of our efforts, because they've been doing one-on-one literacy and development of these skills. And you can actually go into any library and talk to the librarian about getting information, how you get on the internet. They will help you do that.
But when I go to the branch libraries on Saturday around San Antonio, and I go to a lot of them, they're backed up. They're really being used to maximum, and there's a queue of people waiting for a chance to use the computers that they have. So it's not a matter, there's very little convenience when it comes to going to the branch library on a Saturday morning. Maybe that might be your only window to use that, and you're going to have 20 minutes online. If you have limited internet literacy, that 20 minutes is about all you're going to have is not a lot.
Absolutely, and I think that's why creating multiple other points of access, as Richard talked about doing in Saha communities, as we've talked about doing with regard to churches, where churches have facilities, they have a folks who are, in some cases, want to be mentors, want to reach out, have these skills already. And we focused on low income, but there are other groups, such as older San Antonians, who may not be low income, but who are anxious about interacting with technology. So there are lots of opportunities. And I think,
what about Boys Club, Girls Club, YMCA? Places like that.
Absolutely. And so that's, as we move forward with the Digital Inclusion Alliance, the idea is to take what we've learned and then reach out. This can't be something that just the city does, or just the library, or just Tech Block, or just Saha. It has to be the way that we think as a community.
And Richard Milk from the San Antonio Housing Authority.
So you asked about the Vanguard. I think one way to think about this is digital inclusion is the first step towards a number of things, including employment opportunities, employment training, further education. One of the things that one of our great partners, Goodwill, is doing is taking Connect Home graduates and finding, doing an assessment, finding what their career strengths are, career weaknesses are, and helping them address those weaknesses so that they can move on and build a new career path.
David Hurd, CEO of Tech Block, if this is achievable, if suddenly we're able to find a way to bring reliable internet to across the city, how would that change the city?
Well, I think, you know, the internet is the great leveler, the great equalizer. It doesn't matter what school district your children live in, what neighborhood, what their home experience is, who their adult models are or aren't. If they have access to the world of information available through connectivity and broadband, then they have an entry point into the world of learning and modeling that is available to any child. So I really do think at the end of the day, we have great numbers of young people. You know, we're top 20 city for millennials in terms of numbers, but we rank low in terms of per capita education levels. And so to us, this is really about making sure young people get educated, they have an entry point into accessing all of the information on the internet and see a pathway to those jobs that are going to be important.
So what can individuals do? You know, I mean, is there something I want to get a new computer, even though there's really nothing wrong with my old computer? Is there some place where my old computer can go, Richard Milk?
Well, I'm going to say that if folks are interested in participating in the Digital Inclusion Alliance as it's rolling out, that they should email us at the digitalinclusionalliance.sa@gmail.com for more information. And that will get the ball rolling.
And like, what would they do there?
There's a number of roles, I think, that are possible depending on what they bring to the table. I think as we've discussed today, this is about partnerships, and everybody has a sort of a slightly different focus, whether it's on the machines, whether it's on training, whether it's on connectivity. And so I think the purpose of participating is finding out where you best fit and how you want to contribute.
And earlier you mentioned those stories, you know, how this has changed individual lives. And so if people are, I mean, we have Each One Teach One, which is a literacy group here in San Antonio. Is there like an Each One Teach One? Is that what this is for electronic literacy?
Each One Teach One has been participating with us from the very beginning, and I think they're very much a part of the solution. And I think what this alliance evolves into is very much dependent on who shows up to the table.
All right, I want to thank our guest, Leela Powell. She is the Chief of Policy to the City of San Antonio, Mayor Ivy Taylor. Richard Milk, Director of Policy and Planning for the San Antonio Housing Authority. David Hurd, CEO of Tech Block, a grassroots organization created to activate San Antonio's tech industry. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is produced by Kim Johnson, Jan Ross Piedad, and David Martin Davies. Management and oversight provided by News Director Shelley Koffler, and production assistance is provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation and the GAC Health Foundation.